This is a prevailing prayer with GSW, an inspiring teaching that nurtures Christians' ability to pray right by the Spirit. This revelation will open your eyes to how to be led by the Holy Spirit in place of prayer. God bless as you listen.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to today's class. I'm going to inform you by the grace of God, the word of prophecy has been coming from all over the world. Regarding this particular corridor where we stand in the course of time. The Lord is saying to me that we should forge ahead and open up all the vistas, all the aquifers, and let the waters let them run. And I received the message from the Holy Spirit directly for myself. Also, many of the ministers from all over the world have been writing to me the things that the Lord is showing to them regarding this season. Many of us may not understand why sometimes the Lord will then have to speak to us and say, "This is what I want you to do now." The Bible says that without vision, that the church will lack direction, which means they will perish. They would be going in the wrong direction. They would not know what God wants them to do. But part of the body of Christ, you and I know how our body works, that you think of a thing in your mind to do or a place to go. Then you depend on your physical eyes, either when you are driving or when you are walking, to lead you there. The function of visions and prophecy to the body is very important because it gives you guidance. It acts as your guiding light so that you can be faithful in the places where the Lord would require you to function. And so, this week especially, we're going to ask many of us to be very sensitive to the awakening of the Spirit inside of us, to the awakening of the Spirit, activation of our supernatural gifts, to be open to the leading of the Spirit in the place of vision, in the place of walking in the prophetic, not to restrain the Spirit, not to be overtly conscious of people's validation at the expense of spiritual ascension. Either you are at home or in a church or in a fellowship or even at work or driving, when you notice the power of God is coming over you in a particular way, I would like you to please, maybe you just park your car and lock the door if you can and allow the Spirit to wash over you. Every year, we get a divine direction as to what the Lord wants us to do. And without this direction, I, for one, do not make any move. I do not make plans. I do not give sermon topics or themes. I wait. Because I do not want to go by the flesh. And it is so easy to assume that you can just pick a topic for God. I do not do that. I train people not to do that. I want us to be heavily dependent on the Spirit. So please be sensitive at this time. On Friday, we are going to have Night of Glory. That will be 28th of February online. So when we are praying, when it is 6 o'clock, we just move into the Night of Glory. And on that day, we'll be talking about faithful and true. That's our topic. We are going to be describing this particular characteristics of Jesus, and we are going to be talking about it. All the speakers will do that. And a special fragrance of Christ, one that we have not walked in before, will be revealed that day. I'm not saying this by faith. I'm not saying it by because I want people to attend that has never been. This is what the Lord has told me that I'm telling you. That'll be Friday. That fragrance, however, is a precursor to what is going to happen on Saturday. A preparation for that physical meeting. Because of those who wouldn't be able to attend, who are all over the world, who will just join us online, there's a way God has helped us so that we can. Those who are not present in our physical meetings will not be left out. And those who are present will not then pack all the blessings. There's a way because the Lord knows our frame. Saturday, therefore, by 12 noon, we are going to have our worship service. We'll be talking about it for a few days. And that service is going to be awesome. If you can attend it, I really recommend that you do. If you have anyone who needs help, who needs supernatural help, please encourage them to be at the meeting. It is from that meeting that will then release the full floodgates into the healing service that will happen in Port Harcourt and the one in Abuja, and then the other places the Lord has sent us to all over the world. Glory to God. Today, I'll be speaking on wisdom and understanding. And this will be a bit specific because I think from the beginning, you can't talk about strategy without talking about wisdom. You cannot talk about strategy without talking about knowledge, and without talking about understanding. The reason I'm bringing this up again is because talking of us, the application of the word is challenging for some of us. I, as a speaker, cannot in any, by any means, use your own particular situation, what you are going through now, as my teaching point, and apply that to everybody that is listening to me. It is one of the challenges that I have with believers. They listen, but many do not pay attention to hearing, or they hear, many do not pay attention to listening, either way. When we talk about life situation, I will talk about decision making. The Spirit of God in the life of a believer, when you receive that Spirit came with all the wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding of the Spirit. A man like Saul, who was not a dandy, he was a brilliant man, a lawyer, but who was running with zeal in the wrong direction. When he encountered Jesus, he encountered wisdom to the point where he turned away from his previous direction. He turned 180 degrees. He realized that the path I was going before was wrong for me. He realized it. He didn't argue. He didn't fight. He didn't try to make sense of it. You are here, you are listening to me. You are born again. But you are in a relationship with somebody else's husband. And you are asking me specifically, but I think God, does this apply to me? Don't do that. Please be considerate of the fact that I grew up in Ibadan or your state. Be consider me. I have a very bad habit of strong comebacks for silly behavior. I'm trying very much to be pastor-like, you know, to be pastor-like, to be gentle. I mean it. I'm thinking to myself that maybe that approach would help some of us. But you to know that I do not have to come here and mention, oh, this kind of relationship. Do you want me to threaten you with hell? You want me to threaten you with death? You want me to threaten you with disease? I will not do that. If Apostle Paul can see that where he was heading was bad and he turned, what is wrong with your own? Why can't you turn? Why must I be the one? Am I, why must I be the one to tell you to turn? Why must you hear it from me directly? Are you 3 years old? Why must you hear it from me directly? If you have bad financial habits, you earn so amount of money, and then you live a lifestyle that is way more than that amount of money, to the point where you cannot save, to the point where you collect loan all the time. It's just you and your husband. Both of you are earning good money. You have 2 children. You put them in a school that when you pay school fees, you have nothing left. You subscribe to all these things, Netflix, Showmax, all these things, Prime, you will supply all these things that are just deducting your money. And we didn't sit down to say, no, I have to streamline my spending. I must spend 30% of my earning and save 70% and still live a good life. But you are saying, but I mean, God, are you saying this applies to me too? Stop it. We have now done 20 something days of fasting and prayer. We shouldn't have to be asking each other this kind of question. Especially those of us who are not, once you are above 10 years old, don't write to me about these things. Yeah, because as a teacher, I have several teaching aids. I use words. Sometimes I use stern words. And sometimes I just come out blazing. And I don't want to do that. This is a public, this is not SSBC, this is a public, this is a public gathering. And I want people from outside who didn't know me very well to be seeing me as a gentle person. So please don't spoil my steez. Don't do that to me. Behave yourself. Look at your situation as you are. This situation, the right thing for me to do is this. What most of us then lack is the will to do it. So because we don't want to stop that thing we are doing, you will now be praying. Something that you are supposed to correct by yourself, even though it will be painful, you don't want to correct it. You are in a stupid relationship because somebody is giving you money. You know you are not supposed to be in that situation. You know that this is a bad situation. I shouldn't be here. You know it. You have told yourself that truth. But you lack, you are telling yourself, I'm too emotionally invested. Every time I tell him no, he will just call me. He will start crying. I mean, now my heart cannot take it. Okay, it will be painful to cut this thing. But you see, that pain is part of growth. That is where wisdom comes in. The wisdom to do the right thing. The application of the knowledge of the right thing and then doing the right thing is wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. If they are going to see somebody is wise, that's what you will see. Somebody is in a terrible marriage, abusive. This man is beating you, or this woman is beating you. And you have tried everything, people have talked, and you realize that this thing can take my life. And then you are expecting me, you are calling me to say, okay, so I used to do it. Some people here can bear witness. And when I notice that somebody is in an abusive relationship, I even get police involved, I'll get a car, I'll tell the go and pack a bag. Some people remember a case when lady's husband beat her to stupor. Then I called Pastor Femara there. I said, give me two more poles. Then I got the Hilux. I got everything. As if I was the father of the girl. I carried the tea on my head. Mother, the lady. I said, go to our house. Get out of the house. Get the baby out of the house. Fuck my things. Then I called somebody. I said, who has an extra room among us around that area where this lady can stay? Somebody said, no, I do. I said, I will need it for at least 6 months. And the person said, oh, no problem, sir. And I said, pack a load, pack the lady, put her there. We cannot allow this man to kill her. Sunday. That was like a Friday. On Sunday, I was at Supernatural Life Assembly. I saw the lady and her husband. Husband came to report to tell me to my face that this was why I beat her. This was why I had to beat her. Okay. Wife said, I didn't ask you to come and carry my load, though. I want to go back to my husband's house. Give me back my load. I want to go back. But I said, I didn't kidnap you. The way you are talking, it will seem as if I came to your house to carry you forcefully. You were beating blue black and you had a baby. And I said, oh, you shouldn't be in this situation. So we quickly rescued you. But the way you were sounding, if a third party would be there, they would assume that I came by myself to your house to carry you away from your husband's side, as if I had any ulterior motive, the way the lady was speaking. I said, wow. Wow. So I told them to return our things and ourselves to our husband's house. And I promised myself from that time that when people are not ready to do the right thing, forcing them to do it will then make them blame you. It is best to let people do the right thing. People must come to the realization that either this is good for me or this is bad for me by themselves. When they do that, they have come to knowledge. That is the point of knowledge. The point where you either come to see that this thing is bad for me, or the point where you came to realize that, oh, I've been going the wrong path. I need to turn. I need to do metanoia. I need to turn around. I need to repent. That is the point of knowledge. Some people will tell you that I came to the point of knowledge, but I still continued. That is what the Bible says, that a woman is pregnant, but she don't have the strength to push baby through. So it is not as if they didn't know that what they were doing is wrong. So they already came to knowledge. If you ask them 10 times, do you know what you are doing is wrong? They will say yes. They say, why didn't you stop? They will say, I didn't know how. I didn't have the courage. I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the power. I didn't have the means. They will give you excuses why they couldn't stop. That means from the moment you came to knowledge, if you continue in that same path, that is the definition of foolishness. If you understand what I just said, can I see your hand? Among the ministers. You understand? You have come to knowledge, but you did not turn. That is the definition of foolishness. Thank you. So if you have not come to knowledge, it is ignorance. So ignorance means I'm doing something wrong. I didn't know it was wrong or it is wrong. Like Apostle Paul, persecuting Christians, he was doing something wrong, but he didn't know it is wrong. He thought he was fighting for God. So he was ignorant. What Jesus had to do was then to show him, Paul, you persecute me. What you are doing is foolishness. Paul said, oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. And he turned. The moment he turned, he has shown us wisdom. If, however, he did not turn, that would then mean he's a foolish man, because the next thing that will happen is he will die. And there's something that kills people like foolishness, especially after coming into enlightenment. So we have done 20-something days, and I realized that some of the DMs I'm getting on Twitter and other places, it will seem as if people either were not attending these classes, or they were attending these classes and they were doing that thing that students do, where they would have listened to you, but then they will now come up with a question that will seem very stupid. But the question is a question that they don't want to answer for themselves. And they will then tell you, Baragwenga, you see, my case is different. I said, what is your case? And the man did not have one wife. He had two. So he already has a problem in his marriage. He's a polygamous man by nature. So I'm not really a side chick. He wanted to marry me to be third wife. So, but I don't want to be somebody's third wife. So, but I was talking and he's thinking of me. But see, all these things you are saying, I'm not thinking, does it apply to me? When I read that guy, when I read that kind of a message, the thing that happens to my mind, you don't want to know. Because I'll just be thinking that, is this person, is he winding me? Sorry for the language. It's from Lydia, and I heard it one day. Said, are you winding me? is this person joking or just making fun of me? Or is this person just trying to waste my precious time? The essence of the classes we have daily is so that we do not pray amiss. If you are here and you are in debt, you are owing, the number one thing you must do is cut down your expenses. By all means, go through that inconvenience. If normally you drive, begin to take a bus, park your car, stop paying fuel until you finish paying. I'm not joking. Until you finish paying the debt, reduce your spending to almost zero. Go back to basics. If you are owing, calculate that in 2-3 months I'll pay back this debt. Be determined to do it. If you have to stop every other non-essential expenditures to pay off your debt, do it. You will not die. You will not. It is better to live a debt-free life than to be at the mercy of a debtor. Or somebody come and you're afraid. Do everything. You don't have to ask me, does it apply? Is there a special scripture? Is there a special prayer? No, no, no. Don't be like that. When God sees that you have started with the determination to break off the yoke of your neck, you will then see how supernatural help will come. But that you are spending money you don't have, and you are now saying, but I'm praying. When people talk like that, it's an insult to God that he gave you a brain but you refuse to use it. God will be like, what? That's a waste of some good brain there. And that shouldn't be what God should be saying about you. Like, you are a party person. Go to party, 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 and you are in debt. But you're always buying a shrebi. You're owing a lot of people money. He shared with us that a friend came to borrow some money from me the previous month. Somebody sent me a message at 3 a.m. My son is dying. I just rushed him to the hospital. All those emergency that they would quickly use to galvanize you. And before God, I sent her 400,000 naira. And I said, "Oh, you are your husband. Please make sure my son does not die. Pay for hospital bill and all that." They collected it. I didn't ask for receipts. They did well. I didn't hear from them. Then they said they were coming to say thank you to me. And then we sat down. And they sat and they were telling me, "Oh, when I was sick, my heart has gone to heaven. My leg was shaking. We, in the middle of the night, we ran to the hospital. Oh my God, we left the older children at home." They were still gisting me. And they didn't come with a check of 400,000 to pay me back for the money I gave them. And then this lady, our front desk officer at the office, came into the office with some things we just received from China. All this little stuff, bags and all the none. These things are not very expensive. And the lady came and said, "Robinga, I know that you don't buy, but maybe madam will like it. I have this bag." And then she showed it to me. And the lady took the bag and looked at it. I said, "How much is it?" And they told her the amount. And she said, "Oh, I don't have money now, but can I be sending it to you later?" In my head, I was thinking, you don't have money to take care of your children. I just bailed you out with 400,000 naira. And here you are. Here you are collecting bag. Collecting bag without money. And the other lady was like, Sibraminga is here. Even if I can't get you, I know I will hold him." So I was collecting account number, phone number. I said, "What are you guys doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm buying bag." I said, "Get out of my office. Just stand up like that and everybody vamoose, get out. I don't want to see people like this around me. I'm not proud to call you my friend. I cannot say I know you." I want to be like King Solomon. He surrounded himself with some wise people. Live well. You see that it's good to surround yourself with wise people. The man that gave us till tomorrow, the virtuous woman, was not Solomon himself, was Slim well. There were other people in his time that all of them sat together and they would exchange wisdom. I want to be surrounded by wise people. People that when they open their mouths, I can say it is their voice, like the voice of God himself. Because when you sit with the wise, you become wise. Anybody that keeps the company of fools will become foolish. I do not want to keep the company of fools. So we must come to the place where we begin to make practical decision. And that is what I call synesis. Practical wisdom. You are not getting promoted at the office. Or somebody in your office, one of your bosses, is always on your case. And the person is not on your case because of any diabolic reason. The person is telling you, "You are too sluggish. You don't, you are not, you are not, you are not sharp on your feet. Yeah. You are too, well, I'll tell you to type a letter, it will take you 2 days or 1 day." You know, had a sister like that, attended one of the best universities in the world. One of the best. Had masters from one of the best universities in the world. Got a job with a firm. And because of the reputation of the university, and because of the kind of English she speaks, they were quick to employ her, and they made her, they gave her a good position to work directly with their group MD. And from day one, she couldn't keep up the pace. She will get to the office late. She will be the first to want to leave. When she's in the office, she does everything in a tidy manner. As if they are forcing her to work. Just 1 month at the office, she called me, "Baby, I want to leave this job." I said, "What? You need the experience. You need this. No, the stress is too much, I beg. And my life is a soft life. I just don't want the job again." No, I called the person that employed her. What's the why? Why does she not like the job? The man says she's lazy. Said there are four, I have four secretaries. In the assessment, she comes last. The others, one of them went to, I don't want to mention any school, but you can imagine the expectation it would have of her, given that the others went to public schools, but this girl went to one of the best private schools. So in his head, he thought he had found somebody that's very proficient and efficient, and this person just have zero attitude. And then the person will say, "I've been out of school for 6 years. I've not got a job." You won't be speaking in tongues. Come on. Come on. What is the point of the tongues? You cannot do a business by yourself. You cannot work for anybody. To get a relationship was a problem because of her tardiness. Men, no way, ladies are lazy. No, this is not a. What are we talking about the other day? This is not a trust fund baby issue. Even trust fund children are sharp. I know many of them. They are brilliant. They have good mind, and they are not just sitting down growing moss all over. Even though they had money, they are up and about. But this laziness is a problem. If you are a lazy Christian, you are going to be poor. Nobody wants to live with a procrastinating person. Somebody that never gets anything done. Tell them to do this. Tell them to do that. Tell them to do this. Tell them to do that. Nothing ever gets done. And the day is coming, day is going. Nature is not teaching you anything. The sun enters shift at the right time. Closes from its shift at the right time. Then the night enters its shift at the right time. Closes from its shift at the night time. The animals, the crops at the right time, maize will come at this time, no go at this time. African cherry, my daughter, my 6 year-old daughter taught me African cherry a few days ago. And we are going to Kogi, we are in the bus, we are in the car, and the mom bought agbalumo, and I didn't know the English word. So I used what my father used to use also when I was young. I said, hey, boys, hey, girl, what is the English word for this? You just said, African cherry. I quickly wrote it in my brain. Then, thank God, I didn't call it agbalumistic. Oh, my. The point of wisdom. If you notice you have certain habits, take them away. If you are a procrastinator, somebody who is lethargic, who doesn't want to get things done, even you will sit on your bed. You sit on your bed, on your bed. You cannot get up to switch off the light. You will shout. You'll call somebody, help me switch off the light. And you are young. It's not a good habit. You want to go somewhere. You have not gone in 2 weeks. Every day I will go tomorrow. Every day I will go tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes for you. What is the point of speaking in tongues? The point. You are sleeping with somebody. You know I shouldn't be sleeping with this person. Why are you going back there? It's a matter of the heart. Hey. Oh boy. I'll tell you something that you don't know about matters of the heart. If you don't control it, it will control you. 100%. You have to be in charge of it. Anybody that is so emotional that he or she falls in love or is how do they put the English, is besotted or is infatuated or becomes so emotionally compromised that he or she is no longer in control of the narrative. That person is already a victim. At the end of the day, when you do a post-mortem, you will see that your emotion will make you so easy to abuse and so prone to accept anything. Any the person will just give you just my heart. I don't want my heart to break. I don't want to experience the pain. The pain is part of the fun. Walk away from it. Walk away from it. These things are the reasons why the Christian prays and does not get answer. It is not. So the simple-minded will say, it is sin. Does not make your prayer to be answered. No. Sin has nothing to do with born-again Christians. It is now your habit, your conditioning. These things will not give you the right result. Just as simple as that. They won't. You will not get the right result out of this. You will not be able to fly. You will not be able to do the things that God requires of you when you have these kinds of habits. So this is why you will not pray again 3 months' time. You pray again 4 months' time. You will get a job. You cannot hold on to a job. This is why. And many of us, we are creatures of our own habits. So it is not that God does not bless us. We do not know how to hold on to blessings so that we can even count beyond one. You will receive a blessing today. By the time you are receiving one tomorrow, this one of today is gone. By the time you are receiving another one, the one of yesterday is gone. So your blessings come, but you cannot keep your blessing. I have a friend, my mom, knowing very well, a lot of my family members, was like an adopted brother to me. But since we were in the boarding school, I noticed one thing about him, one very key thing. He does not understand how to be faithful with a woman. From when we were young, his eyes were always darting, darting. When we were in secondary school, he would like this one today. Tomorrow, he would like that one. Next one, we are not even dating yet, but we talk as boys in the boys' style. We talk about girls. And you will notice that in his mind is a switchy mind. And I told him, I said, hey, watch this habit. Watch it. Why isn't it in your vision, in your dream, to be with one person and grow old with the person? Why is it that you feel like this your relationship must have expiry dates, maybe 3 months or 4 months or 6 months? This is how your mind is working. Your mind, I know people that their dream is just to fall in love and be with one person all the days of their life. Once somebody has that kind of a dream, that person already programs his mind or her mind, to be in a relationship that we want. Somebody that says, nah, I cannot keep myself. And I said, this thing, or just my wife recently, we were at an event, and I was telling my wife that, oh, do you know this guy? He came here to propose to his wife. So he proposed to a lady at one event. He invited me. He proposed to her, gave her a ring in public. All of us clapped. All his friends were there. Oh, beautiful. 6 months later, I married somebody else. And when I met the wife, I was like, ah, I don't understand. This is the person you are marrying, said yes, sir. But this was not the person that we did proposal for. The other day, I said, ah, that one is gone. I said, ha, this girl you are marrying is in trouble. He said, no, I said this, she's in trouble. You have not dealt with this issue. Within a year, the marriage was over. I told him, I said, you have not dealt with this thing. So, and you want to marry because people are telling you are old enough to marry. That's what people are telling you. But people are not helping you. If I'm the one giving you counsel, I'll tell you not to marry. You are not the kind of person who marriage was designed for. You are a serial monogamist. That is your nature. You just want to be with somebody for 3 to 4 months, and then you want to move to somebody else. So if anybody should marry you, the person is expecting your vow will be till death do us part. But you don't have the training for till death do us part. You have the training of 3 months expiry date. That is your subconscious. That is your synapses. That is your belief. Nobody acts outside of his or her beliefs. You are born again. You are saying, ah, every time I want to pray, I'll just sleep. I don't have a praying Bible guy. I need prayer to pray. I need prayer to pray. I say, hey, why? Every time I want to pray, I just don't have the. I want to pray in my heart, but I just don't have the. I would say, oh boy, you don't love the Lord. You are one of those people who pray so that you can get something from God. Those who love the Lord do not struggle to pray. It is the truth. If you love the Lord, you would. It is just a natural prayer. Is a natural thing for it. You just pray when you are walking. You are praying. Your heart is with the Lord. It is a statement of love. Prayer is not work. So when people tell me that I know that this person does not know the Lord well, this person does not love the Lord, this person is somebody that goes to God in prayer so that he doesn't get into trouble, or maybe he's in trouble, he wants to pray to come out of it, he's a God user. God users lack the ability or the love or the affinity to pray. Somebody who is a God lover, prayer is for you like the breath that you breathe. The word of God is for you like the food that you eat. So you don't struggle to do those things. You don't struggle. You don't say, ah, I struggle to. No. Those things are natural to you. But we use the word of God as a mirror to make ourselves look better. That is why we do this every day, 6 p.m. We use the mirror of the word to look at ourselves and we say, ah, this I can look better than I'm looking now. What do I shave? What do I remove? Is there a wrinkle somewhere? Do I need to use skincare? Okay, do I need the blade to shave? That's why we use the word of God here to look at ourselves and say, am I lazy? Am I compromised emotionally? Am I somebody who, even though I've seen the truth, but will still continue in the wrong action because I am afraid it will hurt me to do the right thing? Am I somebody who is with a sugar daddy? I know he's married. I know his life is a good life. I'm a Christian. I know that that is not the life I want. And yet I stay with him because once in a while he gives me 1 million, 500,000, and I need the money. Is that your reality? If all those things are the reasons you have continued, what is the point of the prayer? What is the point? Why are you insisting that you want to continue in the wrong habits, in the wrong behavioral pattern, but that God should bless you like that? Why don't you see that if you do away with those bad habits, your life automatically becomes better? Therefore, your prayers would automatically become answered. See, it is not so hard. It is not so hard. A lot of things that we pick up, we didn't want to pick them up. But when we use the mirror of the world to look at ourselves, we begin to drop those things. We begin to just say, ah, no. If you are somebody that has friends, I have some friends I grew up with. I don't talk to them anymore. But many of them start to reach out to me now. So they just send me a message. I saw you on Facebook. My name, I just ignore them. Why? Their lifestyle and who they are and who I am. I'm not the person they knew. I know it. If they come into my space, they will never be comfortable. If I go into their space, I will not be comfortable. Somebody will have to compromise for us to be able to share a laughter. That's the truth. And so I don't have to be friends with them. Their season of being friends with me was long gone. But if you are somebody that you allow people to validate you, will then find yourself in compromising situations, which is not necessary. And so, what is the point of the prayer when we will not apply wisdom? The Bible said that Amnon wanted to rape Tamar. Amnon opened his mouth to say it to a cousin of his. The guy's name was Jonathan. He told Jonathan, he said, "Guy, I like that girl. I want to sleep with her." The friend did not say, "Marry her." A good friend would say, "Oh, talk to the king and marry her." And they will say, "No, I don't want to marry her. I just want to sleep with her." I say, No. You cannot treat a princess like that. You cannot. This is a princess of Israel. There's a way we treat, you know, there's a way we treat her. That's how somebody, I remember one of my sisters had a friend once, and the friend was having a birthday, and the lady wanted to get a birthday gift from me. So I asked this friend, said, "Oh, can I have the having got to buy me this? And the friend said, "No, you cannot ask him for something like that. You have to ask something reasonable. You want him to buy you something of for what?" And later when I heard the story, you know, I was like, wow, you know what? When people understand, when somebody can give right counsel, you surround yourself with people that can give right counsel, that can tell you, no. Where are you going? What direction is that? What direction is that going? If you have friends who cannot do that, who would even champion or support you or would encourage you or sometimes affirm, they will say that, oh, and they just want to, they cannot tell you the truth. So they're always being political when they are talking to you because they don't want to hurt your feelings. Then when you pray, what are you praying for? When you don't listen to God, you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, you will know the truth, but you will not do it. You are compromised in your decision making. You are attending a church, you know that the prayer they are praying there, you don't like it. The attitude of the pastor is not good. You know it. But you are saying, if I stop going, they will send people to my house to come and do follow up. Because why? Why is it that you forget that the sum of a man's life lies in his decision making? Your decision making actually will make you. Not on the sentiments of what you didn't want to do, but you did. It will be on the sentiment of what you wanted to do and you did. That's how you define yourself. I wanted to go here and I went there. That's how a man defines himself. A man does not define himself by saying, "I didn't want to go. They forced me to go." No. Look at how it will sound. When you say, "I didn't want to go, but they forced me," then that did not work out, but I didn't want to. No. It shows that you are spineless. The same thing with all the other things I'm talking about. You want to be out of a debt, break this yoke off your neck. Sit down. Tell yourself, how much can I save if I cut this, cut this, cut this, cut? Then cut all those things. If you have to cut number of eggs you eat, cut it. Say, I'll be eating one egg a day from today. Yeah, I'm used to large breakfast. Do trim down. I'm not eating that breakfast again. I will bring it down. I will eat one piece of meat now. Everybody say, "Ah, you are eating like a poor man." Yes, I'm poor man until I finish paying my debt. I'm not going to continue to live the same lifestyle while I'm owing. No, I will bring it down so that I can pay off my debt and then I can go back to living the lifestyle I want. So in all these things, wisdom and understanding, they are intricately of how the Holy Spirit made us when we became born again. You know, when James said that if anybody lacks wisdom, we should pray. A lot of us don't understand James. We don't. And because we don't know Bible history, we take James serious. I love James, but I know that James, I know the politics of James. Many of you may not know James. So James was the brother of Jesus, the one that was written in the epistles. It was the brother of Jesus. It wasn't the disciple. The disciple died in Acts, I believe, chapter 7. They said that what killed James. That was the disciple. This James, the brother of Jesus, did not believe in Jesus. The Bible said so, that his brother did not believe in him. Bible said so several times. It's in your gospel. They didn't believe in Jesus. But when Jesus died, Mary, realized that strangers were benefiting from the legacy of Jesus. We realized that Peter was not a family member. All the others, John, James, everybody, they were not family members. And Jesus had handed Mary, John to Mary and said, Mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. So Mary was with John, and she could see how when the church began to grow, how all the other apostles began to become great. So she asked and said, how do one become an apostle? They told her that only those who are Jesus resurrected can become apostles. Next thing, you can go and Google this. James came to disciples and said he saw Jesus in a cave. He didn't see him in the upper room. Oh, he wasn't in the upper room. He said he saw Jesus in a cave, in one city in Israel. That was how he became an apostle. Yeah, it was Mary. It was Mary. So when I'm reading the book of James, I read it the way I read the Old Testament. He was never part of the disciples of Jesus. He did not know the teachings of Jesus. He was a family member who the mother made the head of the church because the mother did not want the legacy of Jesus going to strangers. So again, when you understand scripture, you understand a Christian was born the day you became born again and you received the spirit of Jesus. You received wisdom. You received synesis. You received epignosis, you received understanding, you received knowledge, you received wisdom, you received phronesis. All those things are programmed in the Spirit of God. The only thing that you have to work on, I talked about it 2 days ago, was developing the mind of Christ, changing how you think. A Christian, born again Christian, applies wisdom. We apply it, we see it, and we apply it. We put it to work. That is one of the fundamental truths of our nature as Christians. We are not going to see wisdom and avoid it. You know, I'm not going to get into drug, for example. See, born again Christian, they say born again Christian is gay, for example. And then they introduced one to me, and I said, oh. Tell me your story. And he told me a story. He said, oh, he was almost lynched in one place when he was doing NYSC. And they almost killed him in the north because he saw a guy and he thought the guy was also gay. I know you are born again. You are born again now. You have come to knowledge. Okay. The right thing to do. To stop. And some of you may say, oh, it's not that easy. If you say that again, if I catch you, if I catch, which of us has an habit that it was easy to go away? Did you not stop it? Was it not by will that we stopped it? It is the truth. We are here, all of us, born again, full of the Holy Spirit. There is somebody among us who has not at one time or the other picked up a habit. Was it easy to drop? Even if the habit is reading book from morning to night, reading book from novel. The day you will drop it, it will hurt you. There is no one that picked an habit. Either it is, no matter what it is, you have to drop it. Masturbation, all those things, you drop it. Because you came to know the truth, then you turn away. But you are born again, but you didn't want to drop it. You are now saying, God accepted, God, I want God to accept as I am. Some of you, some of you are just deliberately being, some are just deliberately trying to be foolish. They are even trying, they are not even foolish. They are trying hard. But you can even easily see that they know that this thing is wrong, but they just want to continue because it will give them a bit of pleasure, even though they know. That is not, knowledge has revealed to them that that is not the right thing to do. My appeal to you today is to allow the wisdom of God in you to speak. Allow knowledge to show you the compromises in your decision making. And be bold enough, develop the spine and the will to do what wisdom says. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, wisdom is crying in the market. Wisdom is saying, hey, incline your ears unto me. For I will preserve your life. I will keep you away from death. I am the one. He said that I was with God at the beginning. I was with God at the beginning. So it is not an artificial thing. Wisdom was with God at the beginning. And wisdom is saying to you now. Wisdom is saying to you now, ladies and gentlemen, incline your ears to me. Look at your life. Put away all the excesses. I run my mouth. I'm lazy. I'm abusive. Take it out. These are bad things for your Christianity. So that when you pray, you know you are praying and you will love the Lord, and the Lord will say, ah, this is my beloved son. His name is Benga. God loves me. I say it all the time. Glory to God. I'm trusting God for you. That as we do what the Lord said we should do in this season, you suddenly find yourself in your wealthy place. The place where God has preserved for you will be the place where you will be. You will find joy in it. I bless the offering you've given. I declare that your hand will not be empty. I pray that you'll have the will to do everything that wisdom is asking you to do, and you do it knowing that it is the right thing to do. I declare that understanding will speak and knowledge will continue to be alive unto you. I declare that you will not hinder the answer to your own prayers. Rather, you will obey God and hasten the fulfillment of his promises. Thank you, Father, for your word this year, and amen. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let somebody shout, glory!
Glory!
We hope you have been blessed by the teaching and revelation you heard today. For more Spirit-filled teachings, please visit the ministry website at www.gswmi.com. God bless.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.